Blog Talk Radio.
Turn me up a little bit.
Yo, turn radio.
Haha. What you know about it? What you know about it? I said it. Hop, the hip, and you don't stop. I rock on, baby, bubble to the boogie, the bang, the boogie.
Bang, the boogie. I swear, you
every
cut that
week
thing
without
out.
Fail. It's the same clipping.
Yes, of course, you always say that, but I beg to differ. Anyway, y'all.
Well, you can beg.
Welcome
to
third. WTF with Joe D and the lovely and talented Miss Kenitra Jordan. What's
Hi.
Going on tonight, partner?
It is summer vacation. I am so excited!
Really? Really?
Yes, man! This is like, I mean, come on! I feel like singing Pharrell's Happy.
Don't do that. Because, you know what I mean? We're trying to gain listeners, not drive them away. Please don't.
Really, Jody?
I'm just saying. Don't do it.
Oh, the insult. Whatever.
No. The factual comment. It
Your
wasn't
bag.
An insult. It was a factual
you
comment.
You have never heard me sing, thank you very much. So. Oh.
Really?
You haven't.
All right, y'all. We have got a very good show for y'all tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We have Joshua Gautier. Oh, that's a cool last name. I might want to borrow that. And Yara, I think it's Kalima. I'm going to have to ask her if I pronounced her name right, because I hate giving people names wrong. But anyway, Yara is the veteran author of so many books, like children's books, street lit, urban fiction. She just touches kind of a lot of different genres, and she's going to be here and tell us a little bit about what she has going on now and also the things that she already has out. And Joshua is actually an up-and-coming author. It's the first time we've had an up-and-comer on the show. His book is scheduled to be released soon. It hasn't been released yet. So we're going to get his insights on his book, the process that he went through, and that should be interesting. They're also going to be here for our main hot topic, which is the controversial, is it possible to love two people at the same time? That's going to be interesting. Because what are you doing? What was that?
I was just, you know, like subliminal messages saying no. You know?
Really? Sounded like an old Fizzler commercial. I mean, what are you doing? Anyway.
I was saying, no.
Okay. But anyway, y'all, before we get to all of that, we got something that we like to call the spin cycle topic. So, KJ, spin the wheel. Hey, now.
Okay, so my first one is just, I got it just for shock value because, you know, I just really love to just catch you and just make you say, ugh. So this first article is talking about this new revolution, this new hashtag that's going around, and it is no shave, no shave. It's a new trend where women have stopped shaving their armpit hair and allowing it to all hang out. So, the article...
That is so disgusting, but continue.
It's talking about... Y'all just sent me a message saying, ew. It's talking about, like, how the men had what is it, Movember, where they don't shave for the entire month of Movember. They stopped shaving their beards to raise awareness about prostate cancer. And so they were saying how, you know, with this whole no shave, no shade, some women are trying to say that they want to forego shaving the hair because it's a natural part of life and it naturally grows on their bodies. And so there's a ton of women who are now refusing to wax, shave, or laser their hair on their legs.
No.
Their legs, their private areas, as well as their underarms, in celebration of what an adult female body really looks like. And so
really?
That's what they're yeah.
I mean, farting is a natural part of life, too. You don't see people go around farting in public, and at least most people try not to, you know? I mean, come on.
Really? You likened it to farting?
I'm just saying, they said it was a natural thing. There's a whole lot of things that are natural
liken,
that you shouldn't necessarily.
No, but to liken armpit or body hair to farting, come on. That's more than nasty. That is. That's horrible.
So
they were saying that, you know, how a lot of times in, like, Europe and in other places, they were saying that, you know, women don't shave under their arms or their legs or things of that nature because they do recognize that this is a natural phenomenon that happens with an adult body that signifies a rite of passage into womanhood. And it was saying how really here in America, women honestly don't know the reason why they shave. They just shave because that's what they've been taught to do. But no one has ever really said the real reasons why women shave their bodies. So
that is a crock. That is a crock.
Y'all is killing
women
me over
shave,
here.
Women
Yara
shave,
says,
and also men shave their bodies, not because they were taught to, it's because they like it. They like the sleekness and the smoothness. It's not because someone said, hey, you need to shave your legs.
Yara says, so you want him to eat it with hair covering it. Yara, you are killing me.
Oh, my goodness.
You are killing me, Yara. Oh, God. Anyway, okay.
Nobody wants
no.
a fur burger. I'm just saying.
So, a fur burger. Oh, God. Well, if that's the case, then why don't men shave down there as well?
Men do. A lot of men do. It's called manscaping. You ever heard of that? Ever heard of manscaping? Yes.
I don't know, because the dudes I've been with, they don't shave down there.
Really? Okay.
Really? So that's what I'm just saying. So I'm just wondering, I mean, if that's the case, if that's the thing for a female saying you want him to eat it, so therefore you need to, you know, shave it, and same thing for a man. If he wants me to suck it, then he needs to shave down there as well.
Why did you say it like that?
What else am I supposed to say?
I'm just saying. I know that this isn't a morning show, but gosh. Can we be a little bit more tactful? Anyway.
Yara said her man does shave down there, and Islam
See,
is
there
called
you go.
Fitra. Fitra. No, I didn't say men don't. I'm just saying they need to, because the dudes I've been with, they don't. So that's all I'm saying. So at any rate, huh?
Maybe you need to choose, maybe you need to date more than the Wolfman then. Just saying.
I'm just saying as well. Maybe I need to bring that up to him, that he needs to shave.
Maybe you do.
You know?
I partake in the manscaping myself. I'm just saying.
Oh, do you really?
Yes, I do. Anyway.
TMI. Oh, my
Whatever.
God, Yara. Yara is cutting up, for real. She just said, I don't want hair in my teeth.
So there you go.
Oh, Lord, Yara.
My spin cycle topic, I mean, I had like a few to choose from, but I'm going to go with this one. Since the NBA Finals was just concluded last night, my spin cycle topic is simply the LeBron haters. Get over yourselves. Golden State had a better team. If you took two all-stars off a Golden State team, would they have even been in the finals? I say no. Take away Klay Thompson, take away, what's his name, Draymond Green, and Golden State wouldn't even have been in the finals. Or take away Andre Iguodala, who ended up being the finals MVP. they wouldn't even have been in the finals. LeBron was down two all-stars and got that team to the finals. Nobody else would have done that. Because he lost, now y'all can pile on. But y'all know Jordan wouldn't have taken a bad team to the finals. Kobe wouldn't have taken a bad team to the finals. None of them would have taken a bad team to the finals. LeBron is one of the few players that you can put on a bad team and they become relevant. So y'all stop hating on the man.
Yara sent you a message. She said, we don't care, Jody.
Anyway, I'm going to tell y'all to the LeBron haters, stop hating. I don't even get it anyway. What's that like about LeBron? He's a good role model. He doesn't get in any trouble. He's a family man. You know what I'm saying? What is not to like about LeBron? I just don't get it. They just hate just to be hating, I guess. I guess when you're on top and you make a lot of money, people just hate you. But
and I really don't know. I honestly don't know because I don't follow sports like that. So I know I saw my cousin make a comment on his timeline today about the LeBron haters. So I honestly don't know what the deal is because, like I said, I don't follow. I mean, I had to ask my man last night, so who won? I had no clue. I just went to sleep. So
I'm just saying, stop the hate, please. It's not save it for somebody who's worthy of it. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, what's your next one?
All right. So, my next topic I thought was kind of interesting because it was asking the question, is Section 8 the new racial slur? And they were talking about, you know, the footage from the McKinney pool party in Texas where you had different Caucasians who were out there in the community who were seen on video yelling at the black teenagers, go back to your Section 8 homes. You know, speaking to the assumption that the youth lived in government-supported housing. And so they were saying, it seems like this is the new Rachel. Oh, Lord, I didn't mean to say Rachel. Oops. That this is the new racial slur now is for you to automatically assume that somebody who is African-American automatically comes from a Section 8 housing development. You know, because they were saying how Section 8 now is
new. I don't know if that's new. I mean, people used to call people Section 8 folks when I was growing up.
Yeah, but if you look at the history of public housing and the history of Section 8, it was actually created as a haven for working class white families.
Yeah.
Especially war veterans' families. Like after World War I, they created Section 8 housing so that the people coming back from the war would have some place to live. And, you know, that's how it started.
I will say this. And what I'm about to say, I know it's going to be controversial, but what else is new? Here's the problem. And I know that I'm taking it a little bit farther. You know, you're just talking about a slur, a new racial slur or whatever. But here's the problem that I have with Section 8, so to speak. What a lot of, at least what they do here, they will go to new neighborhoods. They'll be like a middle-class neighborhood with middle-class homes and whatnot, working families, usually both people in the home are working. They may have one or two kids, usually small children, because usually it's like the starter neighborhoods where they're brand new, but the homes are kind of starter homes. Usually they're like two and three bedroom homes, you know, nice homes, but they're like that starter community. So it's really like for young families, you know, working class families, middle class. And then what they'll do is a guy will come in and buy up a bunch of those homes. Now, we're talking about new neighborhoods, too. They'll go in and buy up a bunch of those homes, and then they'll put Section 8 families in there. And what happens is the people who buy those houses in those newer neighborhoods, their property value all of a sudden goes sinks to the bottom. You know why it sinks to the bottom? It's because Section 8 brings a certain problems with communities. And I've heard this talked about like over and over and over again. One of the biggest jokes around here is you want to see Caucasians leave a neighborhood quick? put some Section 8 housing in there. Because they will jump ship like rats on a sinking ship. You know, it's like they bring down the property value. And I'm going to tell you why. This is how the property value gets brought down. The people who partake in the Section 8 process, the adults are usually fine. They're usually hardworking folks. Usually folks that, you know what I'm saying, have been waiting for a while to get their home, to get a home, a real house, to get out of an apartment. And so they appreciate it. And they, you know, they keep up their yards and everything. They're not the problem. The problem is they badass kids. Because usually the ones that are in Section 8 got like 2, 3, 4, 5 teenagers who don't care about nothing. They hang out on the corner, cursing, you know, the girls with little booty shorts, and next thing you know, people are like, what in the world happened to my little neighbor? And I'm saying that because it happened to me. I've seen it. I have seen it personally. That you move into a neighborhood and it's nice, middle class, working folk. You know, you see people pushing a baby carriage around, walking their dog or whatever, and then somebody comes in and buys up like 10 houses, put Section 8 folks in, they bring their teenagers, next thing you know, it's like smoking on the corner, cursing, hoochie mama shorts. It just brings down the property value. Like I said, it has nothing to do with the adults. It's more so the children. I hear it all the time. I've seen it myself. Something's got to be done about that. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right for people who've worked hard to get to a certain level and then have their property value go down because of that. I don't know what the answer is. I think something needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. But that's stereotype, because not all people who live in Section 8
are. I didn't say all. I didn't say all. I said a lot or some. And I'm just keeping it real. A lot of people, that's the problem with my folks. A lot of folks want to sugarcoat stuff. I'm not sugarcoating anything. I'm keeping it real. I'm telling you what I've seen over and over again and what other people have told me. While other people have moved and trying to find even higher income neighborhoods that, you know, that they can barely afford just because they want to retain their property value. When you buy a house, bottom line is when you buy a house, one thing that you want to do is keep the equity in your house. Point blank, period. And you don't want somebody coming in bringing down your property value. I don't give a damn what color they are. That has no bearing on it whatsoever to me.
Y'all just said people should be taxed for the destruction that their children do.
I agree. Because, like I said, a lot of times it's not even the adult. The adults
right.
are fine. It's they badass kids. That's just, I'm keeping it real. I've seen it.
Right.
You know, and it is what it is, you know. And that's not to say all teenagers are bad, because they're not. But it only takes, like they say, it only takes a few rotten apples to spoil the bunch. And sadly enough, that's what happens. But
well,
anyway.
Yeah, she was saying
that
some of the children in her neighborhood burned down the playground in her complex.
See, that's what I'm saying. You know, you can't have anything. Anything when you got badass kids. You just can't.
Right.
Robert Harris line, baby kids, when baby kids come take over, it's a wrap. You know?
Right. I understand.
And it seems like you're being insensitive. You know what I mean? When you bring up subjects like that, it seems very...
Never.
Anyway. It seems, I'm just speaking in general terms. When people bring up these things,
mm-hmm.
it seems like it's racially motivated or it's racially insensitive. And the reality is you're talking about money. People don't want their property values to go down. Period.
Charnell,
you know what I'm
Williams
saying?
Said some parents are not right either. She said you need to stop blaming just the kids.
Well, I'm not blaming just the kids. I'm just saying that a lot of times it is the kids. Like in the situation I was in, it was the children. It was the kids. It wasn't the children. They weren't children. They were teenagers. Like, just roaming the neighborhood, causing stuff. But, you know, breaking into cars. You know, like, before they had, the guy came in and bought those houses and put Section 8 folks in, there was not one break-in in the neighborhood, not one. After, it was ridiculous. And we're talking about a brand new neighborhood. It wasn't even 2 years old. So now, I mean, and that happened in Raleigh. And I think people in that district started a petition to keep people from being able to do that again. Because it was just bringing down the property value of all those new neighborhoods. And at first, a lot of people were saying that it was you know, racially unjust and everything. And it didn't have really anything to do with anything racial. It had everything to do with property value and money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just reality. It, you know, when you're buying a house, you want to retain your property value. I don't care who you are.
Right. Right. Yara, so that's the reason that they create ghettos.
Oh, well, damn. Anyway, y'all coming up. We're about to talk to Yara and Joshua Gautier. Coming up after this.
Good evening, WTF fans. We have books for you by Yara Kalima, Brick City Chicks 1 and 2, Gossip Village, Even the Bluest Eyes Tell Lies, Onika, Please Don't Kill Me, Jasmine, and Dungeon Master. And if you have small children or you have small children in your life, Yara also has a children's line, which is Samira's Trip to the Masjid. And you can get all of these books on her website or at Amazon.com. Also, we have Joshua Gautier, and he is an up-and-coming author with Rich Behavior Productions. So be on the lookout for his book that's about to drop soon. Happy reading. WTF is giving back to the community with our back-to-school drive. We are collecting paper, pencil, notebooks, anything that will help a young person to succeed in school. For more information on how you can donate supplies and where you can send them to, please contact our very own Kim Jones. You can inbox her on Facebook. Thank you so much, and help us give back to the community.
All right, Jody, are you there?
Yes, I believe we have some guests at the door.
I think so. Yay, they're here on time.
Well, come on in.
Uh-oh. All right, Yara.
Hey.
And Joshua.
Everybody.
What's going on?
Nothing much.
Joshua got like the Billy D. Who's the guy with the Barry White voice thing going on? <Hey, y'all. laughs> I hear you. KJ, start him off.
I'm sorry. I'm just enjoying myself here. All right, because I'm just reading over some of Yara's comments. I'm so sorry. So let's go ahead and start off. Joshua, where are you from?
From Los Angeles, California. I was born and raised in California. That's why, before I finish that, don't ever do call that man. I am a true Lakers fan. And when I heard you say Kobe could never carry a team somewhere, it almost sent the nerves like down my spine. Don't do that.
And I'm going to tell you why, Joshua.
Get him.
No,
get him.
I'm going to tell you
why.
You're talking to a basketball aficionado, so I'm going to tell you why. Kobe is a scorer. If you remember when Phil Jackson first left the Lakers, Kobe actually asked to be traded from the Lakers because they couldn't put a team around him. Remember, they sucked for a couple of years. Then they went out and got Pau Gasol, and Phil Jackson came back, and they started winning again, and therefore he took the trade off the table. But he even asked to be traded. Remember, he was almost traded to Philadelphia. don't remember that, do
but
you?
That don't got nothing to do with the pregnancy in China.
He can't
we
carry a bad
about
team.
Kobe
he had
Bryant.
A bad team. He had a bad team and couldn't get them anywhere. He couldn't even get them to the playoffs. LeBron takes a bad
he
team.
He was also injured.
This.
Come on now.
Let me tell you this. LeBron left Cleveland. And you know how many games Cleveland won the following year after he left Cleveland? They won 9 games. He goes to Miami, they go straight to the finals. LeBron leaves Miami, they don't make the playoffs. He goes back to Cleveland, they're in the finals. You do the math.
Okay. Oh.
That's all I'm going to say. You do the math.
Okay, but what's your point?
My point is he's one of the few players that you can put on a bad team and make that team relevant and good. Kobe didn't do that.
But
Kobe scores 80 points.
But he gets
points.
To be cocky and say he's the greatest player.
Kobe
anyway.
Scores 80 points and his team loses. He doesn't make his team
look
make
who
better.
Kobe got around him. Just Kobe.
You're making my point. Look who LeBron had around him. And he got a bunch of stiff in the
finals.
Okay, anyway, back to your question. Yes, I was born and raised.
Yeah, but I'm
gonna
tell you, Joshua, I'm a Kobe fan. That's the funny part about it. I love Kobe Bryant. I'm a Kobe fan.
Okay.
But I understand what LeBron does too, because I played basketball. I understand what he does. A lot of people can't do.
Okay, we
they
can be friends again. I thought I was gonna have to cut you off.
But I love, you know, Kobe. Hey, I'm gonna give Kobe his props.
Hey,
I just want you to know, Joshua. Yvonne said, get him, Joshua. I just want you to know
Yvonne hates LeBron, too. So many women hate LeBron, just don't get it.
Married
high school sweetheart, had kids, great family man, good role model.
But he also
and
is very egotistic. Who sits there and claims himself?
Who is it?
Anyway.
You don't think Kobe has an ego?
Okay, but Kobe don't sit there and self-proclaim himself the greatest basketball player in the world, neither.
Well, I mean, at one point he did, because at one point Kobe was the greatest basketball player ever. I mean, he passed his prime. So now it's LeBron's turn.
No.
Anytime you got Jordan back, you are still
the greatest player in the world.
Kobe once said on camera he was the greatest player in the NBA, in the world.
Okay.
And he was right at the time. And if you ask Kobe, he still thinks he's the greatest player in the world.
Because he is.
anyway.
Now, back to your question. For the third time.
I'm going to get Joshua. Don't worry. I'm going to get you on my sports show. We're going to do a sports show, and I'm going to trust me. I'm going to get you on that.
Most definitely.
I'm just going to say this real quick, and I'm probably going to regret this, but Yvonne said, Jody, I was actually for Bron, but, hey, Curry shut his ass down. Boom.
Sorry, I'm shutting nothing down.
Shout out to the Bay Area. That's all I got to say about that. That's still California. But I'm from Los Angeles, California. I'm the youngest of 7. I'm in school for graphic design, which is actually something I thought wasn't going to be so challenging, but it's really kicking my ass. Yeah, I got a book getting ready to come out soon. I'm super, super, duper excited. Like, I read it and
tell
get excited all over again. Like, I never read it.
Tell us about your book. What's it going to be about?
It's called Pain is Love. It's about an 18-year-old male named Justin who kind of is on the right path like most 18-year-olds in life until life happens. And in the process of life happening, he kind of gets thrown off his course because everything he thought was, wasn't, and everything he thought should be didn't go. So, like most 18-year-old kids, he gets really confused and down on himself and has to really take the challenges that he's been through more share of bad than good and build himself up into an adult, and on an adult level deal with some stuff. Unfortunately, you have to kill a couple of people, and a couple of people have to die. But, yeah, you know.
Okay. Because we know that's how adults deal with things. We create some mighty mags. Okay.
Exactly.
I tell you, man. Yara, are you there?
Hey, I'm Y'all. Here. I'm just listening. I don't really know nothing about sports, so I can't get
Me
in on
either.
That conversation. I just have to wait my turn. You know how they told Effie, wait in line until your turn? Yeah, I just got to wait in line.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here like, I don't know what they're talking about. I know who Michael Jordan is, but that's it. I don't know what they're talking about, though.
Hit her up with a question, KJ.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was trying to get my bearings together. I'm still reeling from that whole Kobe, whoever, I think Braun, is that you said? I'm still reeling from that whole conversation. I'm sorry.
Well, for somebody who doesn't want to talk sports, you still own it.
Okay, let it go. Can I have my turn?
Okay, Yara, where are you from?
Really?
I am from Newark, a.k.a. The Bricks. I'm from New Jersey.
All right, New Jersey Drive.
Yes, I'm from Newark, and I am 23. I have a 3-year-old daughter. I own Flag Present. And
cool.
If you don't know, Flag stands for Strong Women Achieving Greatness. Oh, yeah.
And what does
the
Strong Women Creating Greatness? What type of company
achieving,
and what do you do?
Achieving.
Oh, achieving greatness.
It is a publishing company, but we deal with mostly self-published authors. Basically, what I do is help them through the publishing process, such as the editing, formatting, proofreading, promoting, book covers, all the behind-the-scenes stuff of getting their book published.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So you're like a publisher's aide.
Yeah, sort of, kind of.
Okay.
I just have to take a different approach to the publishing industry. I was signed to two companies, and I hated it. And so I decided that I wanted to help people become self-published authors. And if anybody ever comes to me for advice, I would never say sign a contract because I just don't believe that you should be restricted to signing to some company and let them dictate what you can and cannot do. You know, I've had publishers tell me, like my book, Brick City Chick, I was told that it should be called Brick City Bitch, and I just wasn't with it, and I left the company.
So,
wow.
Other than that, tell me what you didn't like about being signed, because I find it interesting.
I don't want, like, anyone dictating to me what I can and cannot do, what I can and cannot say in my books. I don't want, I want to be able to see what I'm making, because I noticed that when I was signed to a contract, like, I was barely getting royalty reports, so I couldn't see, like, what was being sold. Like, I only could go by what the publisher was telling me. Like, even if the book hit number one on Amazon, I still really can't see how many books were sold, how much money I'm really supposed to get. And I don't want to share with you my money. Like, I'm not about to be giving you 50% of 99 cents. Like, get the hell out of here. First of all, it's not even 99 cents. It's 37 cents. And so we're splitting 37 cents, which means I'm getting 17 cents. What the hell am I supposed to do with 17 cents? I can't feed my daughter with 17 cents. So, therefore, I cannot be a publisher. So that was one of my... I laugh at it now, but... That was one of my biggest issues, like, and then I couldn't, like, when I was signed the first time, none of my books was in paperback, and I had a big issue with that because, like I said, ebooks are great, awesome, convenient, whatever, when you're the reader, but as the author, it's not good enough for me. You know, I want to have my physical book in my hand, and now that I know
right.
how to do all that crap myself, I know how to format the books, and my books look awesome on the inside. You should go get one at www.yarplima.com.
Wait, slow it down so they can get it. This is your time to promote yourself. Now go over there and address
it. www.yarakalema.com. YarakaLeemah.com. You should go
All
get
right.
you one of those Yara Kalema books. And that's the gist of it. Like, I want to make sure that any author who comes across my path is able to survive on their own as a self-published author without having to depend on somebody else. So even if I have to walk you through the steps of how to format your own book, how to do this, how to do that, then I'm going to do it, you know. And that's just the gist. Like, I just want to make sure that everybody's comfortable in their own, on their own as authors, because this industry is cutthroat, you know?
That's awesome.
It is.
Now, do you only help females? Because I know your swag stands for strong women.
Yeah, you're right. But, no, I help anybody who comes across my path. You could be male, female, transgender, whatever you want to do. Homosexual,
okay.
Whatever. I don't care about all of that. I just want to help people, and I just want to help them, you know, strive to be their best.
I appreciate that. I appreciate meeting someone young who has your vision. Because most of the
time,
23-year-olds only thinking about 23-year-olds.
Right,
so that's
I want to help everybody, and I think that's, like, one of the reasons. Like, at some point, I did have a magazine called C-Mag, which was for female entrepreneurs, you know, and it was a way for me to give some knowledge, to create a place where people could come and talk, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why I did the Please Don't Kill Me anthology. So there's a lot of things that's going on within me that is used to help other people. The Please Don't Kill Me Fund, I love it. It's my favorite book. I think all my favorite. But I enjoyed working with the other 11 authors that were on Please Don't Kill Me. It was a fun experience, and I'm gearing up towards the next anthology, which I will be releasing the topic very soon.
Okay. Now,
I was about to ask him a question myself.
I know you're asking him Kay's question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway,
I'll ask in a minute.
Now, JG, you are assigned to Rich Behavior.
Yes, sir.
What is your experience from being signed?
When I tell you Pain is Love is the perfect name for this book, because this book has brought me all the pain and all the love at the same damn time, like literally. This book has been sitting in my laptop for like a year.
Okay.
I sent it to one publishing company maybe like a year ago. They tried to steal it from me. So I had
Whoa.
To get in that real quick. And yeah. So then I was like, okay, well, screw it. I'll just learn how to do it myself. But between going to school and trying to have a life, I never got down to learning how to do it. And then I sent it to another company, and that didn't kind of work out. And then I sent it to Rich Behavior. And the rest is history, which is kind of good, because at first I was starting to doubt my talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, well, Josh, maybe you don't got it. Maybe it's not meant for you to write. But then I sent it to Polo, and that email is one email I will remember for the rest of my life. Like, the compliments and the excitement that I heard in that email really, like, pumped me up all over again. Like, I just wrote it yesterday. And I will agree with what she said. In this industry, it is very, very cutthroat, which is one thing I had to learn. You deal with this side, you deal with these people. All these people are your friend because you're this person's friend.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't be this person's friend anymore, and nobody gives a hell, basically. Like, oh, we were just your friend because you were doing this with us, but now you're not doing this with us. It's almost like the you can't sit with us thing. Like, okay, well, you can't sit with us. It's done. So I agree, and it's actually made me a lot stronger, but a lot more serious in my mind when it comes to getting close to people in this business. Because I was a little naive, and I used to think everybody was my friend.
Oh.
Eh, no,
I'm going to give you a bit of advice, too, though. As an author, I'm going to give you a bit of advice. As an author, develop a very thick skin. Because you will hear more no's, I'll give you a perfect example. I know the Twilight movies that everybody, you know, all these little teenage girls and stuff, they love to death, and they made, like, the writer a billionaire. But you have to understand, the writer who wrote Twilight, when she initially sent that manuscript off, she got 150 no's before somebody said yes. And look what that turned out for her to be. So
yeah.
You can be
a great writer, but you're going to always have an obstacle in front of you. There's always going to be a bunch of no's. You're always going to see more no's than yeses. But the thing is, once you start getting the yeses, they'll start coming in bunches. And you just have to develop a thick skin. Like Yara said earlier about wanting paperbacks versus just having e-books, you're going to want to have some paperbacks because you're going to want to get out there. You're going to need to get out there and sell to folks face-to-face. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
E-books are okay, and I'm telling you, e-books are okay, but the real money comes in paperbacks.
Yep, and you have to hustle. I'm learning that. Like,
that's where the real money comes
from. I'm so quiet, and I'm so shy, and I just, like, you know, sometimes I'd be like, I'm not about to walk up to this person and ask them do they read, but I'm learning to get out of that, and, you know, I want to be the paperback queen.
Wait a minute, Yara, did you just say you were shy?
No way.
But definitely, Joshua, develop your personality. I mean, you know, to me, you sound like you're already, you know, you got your thing going and everything, and you probably won't have a problem. But you definitely, you got to get out there and get in people's faces. That's the only way you're going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit, you know,
right.
An e-book, it's fine, but get out there and sell. And the next thing you know, everybody going to know who you are.
Yeah,
because
word of mouth. Money is.
Because word of mouth spreads.
We
got
to get back to those Treasure Blue days, like street corner, selling books on the street. Like, we have to get back to that. But I think it all goes back to the community, because if you're scared as hell to walk outside, you know, regular, I would be scared to walk out there with some books. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm from the hood. I'm just saying, though, like, if I got 40 books on me, I'm thinking, like, oh, this is, like, worth $50. I mean, I can't be walking around like this. People might clunk me upside my damn head, steal my books.
You got to be creative. You know, there's different avenues that you can go to sell books. You just don't have to go on the street corner. You just have to be creative. Like, you know,
right.
Just really brainstorm, sit down and think about where people go. Think about your audience. And think about who buys that type of book, and you go
they
in
know
there.
They know me at IHOP, because I go in there and I go to IHOP every Sunday by myself just because I want to be, you know, by myself. And I leave my car every single time. Every time I go in there. So the other day, the waitress, he was like, oh, you write, you the one that write the books. My wife wants some books. So I wound up selling him like 6 books right then and there.
See?
Because
that's
I leave my car everywhere.
I love
right,
it.
Now,
that's what you got to do.
I got a couple things here now, okay? So first of all, Kay said, Joshua, that is great advice that Jody gave to you and Yara gave to you. Now, Kay, also, I got two other things. One thing Kay has for Joshua, and the other question will be for Yara. All right, so,
okay.
Joshua, Kay wants to know, your book, is it based loosely on your life?
Yes and no. Yes, because at 18, there's no way I would be as focused as Yara is at 23. Like, I know I commend you from the bottom of my heart, because way in hell I wrote at 23, but at 23 I wasn't worried about trying to get no money. So, you know, it's kind of loosely based on my life, yes and no. Justin, the main character, is similar to me at 18, but not similar to me. He has a little bit more. He's a little bit more soft than I was at 18. I was a little go-getter. So, yes and no.
Okay. And then Yara, Kay wants to know from you, when she finishes writing her book, can she contact you for information on self-publishing?
Absolutely. My email address is swagproductions2014@gmail.com. You can always inbox me on Facebook, so I'm always around. So
How about you go to this post and just type that in there? Because I can guarantee nobody got that. You know, I heard Swag Productions.
We'll,
2014@gmail.com. But yeah, Kay, I got you.
Wow, I didn't know Kay Brown was writing a novel.
Sections 2014@gmail.com. Okay, so I just typed it and put it in there. All right, so now wrapping up this segment so we can move on to the hot topic for tonight. Yara, what would be some advice that you would give to people out there who, like Kay, who are wanting to get their book out there at some point in time? What is the advice you would give to them?
I would say do your research. If you decide that you want to sign to a publisher, do your research. If they are a well-known publisher, please contact people who've already been published by them. Find out if they're still with them. Are they happy with their contract? You don't need to know the gritty details of the contract. You just need to know, are their contracts being fulfilled? You need to know, was everything what they expected it to be? Try to read some authors that are already published with the company. If you decide to take the self-publishing route, same thing. Do your research. There are so many avenues out there in which you can use to get your book self-published and to promote your work. I use a plethora of things to promote my work, and I also do other things besides books. Like, I have a perfume line, I have T-shirts, I have all this other crap. So, like, what I do is food attracts people, so always have some purple candy or some purple cupcakes or some crap that's going to attract somebody to where I am. And then I say, look, I got books too. And they'd be like, oh, let me buy a book. So, yeah, so that's
a good idea. I like that. We're going to be in Harlem, so I need to bring some candy, huh?
Some candy, some cupcakes. My color is purple, so sometimes I do, like, purple drinks or something to entice them to come to me, you know, to my table. And if you're giving away something, like, the book fair is Saturday. I'm going to be at North Public Library, guys, on Saturday from 10 to 5 on Saturday at North Public Library, 5 Washington Street, Newark, New Jersey. And that's going to be hosted by Ms. Charnell Williams. And I am going to be doing a raffle. I have a whole bag full of goodies, so come to my table if you're going to be there.
I like this. Y'all, you have some really great ideas.
So I think that you should just plug, make sure that you find a way to plug people into what you're doing, because if you have other things twirling around the books, then it's going to just add on to what you're already doing. And you have to be humble. Be humble in everything that you do, because if you start acting cocky, people going to be like, F you, I'm not buying no books from you. You think you the ish. Yeah, so you have to be humble. You have to be responsible. You have to be respectable. You have to make sure that whatever you say is a reflection of you. So the other day I posted some crap on my Facebook, and even though it was my truth, I retracted it afterwards, because I know that people respect me in this literary game, and people were inboxing me like, Yara, what the heck is going on with you? Like, people that, like, normally wouldn't say anything on my posts, or maybe just page watching, or they just watch out for my books, like, they were inboxing me like, what is going on? Like, why are you cussing? You don't cuss on Facebook unless it's an excerpt from your book. Like, you don't talk like this. So they were worried about what was going on with me. So I appreciate that. And I know that people are watching. So you should know that people are watching you. No matter what you're doing, people are watching. People that you never thought were watching are watching you. So, you know, you just have to be mindful of that and be humbled in everything that you do.
Okay. And Joshua, what advice would you give to other people who may be feeling just like you were feeling, and then you got picked up by Rich Behavior?
Don't give up. That's the one thing I learned. Like, no matter what, stand by your work. I've heard many and plenty negative and good things about this book. And the one thing I've learned is that you got to stand by it first. Like, in order for you to get somebody else to believe in the dream, you got to sell it. So if you out there, you're trying to get your stuff out there, you don't know what to do, just breathe and, you know, be calm about it. It's going to come to you like, you know, it was said earlier. You might get a couple of no's, but that one yes is going to make all your no's feel like whatever, because I'm kind of, you know, I like where I'm at now with everything, because I'm a little bit more excited about stuff, a little bit more excited about this book coming out. So, yeah, just stick to it. Whatever you do, stick to it. And, you know, don't give up. It's going to come to you. It may not come to you just because I said it's going to come to you. Don't quote me and think that you're going to cuss me out on Facebook talking about Joshua said. I'm not God, so I can't make it happen for you, but I can surely, you know, tell you, you know, keep pushing. It's going to happen for you whether you do a self-published route, whether you go with a, you know, a publishing company. I will say do your homework, like it was mentioned earlier, because, yeah, that's a no-no. You don't walk into those kind of things not knowing anything, because then you get a little shade. It's not... And it's not good shade either, because once you find out the logistics of everything and how everything is going, then you're kind of sitting around with a WTF look on your face, because you done got yourself into something and you're trying to get yourself out of it. So definitely do your homework.
Yeah.
All right.
Research.
Sage advice. So coming up, y'all, can you be in love with two folks at once? Right after this.
And tune in next Wednesday, June 24th at 9 o'clock p.m., where we will have the one and only Trine Adams and Sunshine Wanda Lee here with us to discuss their newest and latest greatest books. See you next Wednesday. And we are very proud to announce to you that Washed in His Blood, the very first novel to drop on our label, Joe Ken Publications, is up and running and is live in the Amazon store for you. He was a foster child, ruined by the system, betrayed by the very system that was supposed to protect him. And now he's back. And those who failed to protect him then will be the ones needing protection now. You can find Washed in His Blood at Amazon.com for purchase either in paperback or as a Kindle. Happy reading.
Yeah, what's bad? It's you're the one that hooked us up, knowing it should have been you. What's bad is that I love her, but I'm falling for you. What should I do? Should I tell my baby bye-bye? Do exactly what I feel inside. I don't wanna go, don't need to stay, but I really need to get it together.
I was all into it.
I thought she was gonna play the whole song there for a minute.
No, I was going to, but I heard you all singing, so I had to stop it. So.
Well, start us off with the topic, KJ.
Okay, so it was recently posted in the group that. I think it was Joe D who made this post about, can you be in love, can you really be in love with more than one person? And this brought out a plethora of people, so many people that we decided to make it a topic and to continue talking about it today. So I'm going to go ahead and start off. My personal opinion is that you cannot really be in love with more than one person. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't feel like you can be in love with more than one person, because I know that it just seems like such a headache just to try and love one person. Hell, I mean, trying to be in love with two different people, I'd lose my mind. And I probably have more than just the one gray hair I found the other day. So I personally don't think that you can be in love with more than one person. And like I said, that is my opinion. But I just don't see how that could go. I don't see how you could really, really be in love with two people. You can't ride two horses
for one
ass.
Okay.
Can I finish?
How do you figure you can't
really
don't
be
you
in
start.
Love with people?
Don't you start. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
You can't ride. You cannot ride one two horses with one ass. So I don't feel like you can be in love with two different people at one time. I feel like one is going to suffer than the other. Now you can talk.
Okay. Okay. So with your premise, I guess everybody who has multiple children, one of the children is suffering because you can't love more than one person at a time.
No, because with children, children is totally different.
No, y'all hear me with that. Why is that totally different? You're talking about love. So how is it totally different? You're talking about your feelings. You're talking about what's in your heart.
No,
it's not different.
I think he means it's different because of, like, when you're talking about being in love with somebody, you're talking about an intimacy level. And to love your children should be something that's natural. Like, you may not like them all the time.
It should be, but it's not.
But
everybody doesn't love
their
children.
It should be natural, like, that you love your children because they are a part of you. So I think that's what she means by it's different. You know,
Jody knows. She's just trying to be difficult.
That's what she means, but she's incorrect.
She's trying to be devil's advocate.
You just said one ass couldn't ride two horses. So, but apparently they can if you have multiple children and love each child.
Jody, we just explained to you that is a different type of love. You do know there are different types of love. You do
know
you have agape
types of
love.
But y'all get cute. Let me finish. You didn't want me to interrupt you. Stop interrupting me.
But you did. Go ahead.
No. But anyway, there are different types of love. But y'all kill me getting caught up on this in love. Well, you can only be in love. Let me tell you something. There are no absolutes in life. That's the one thing I do know. There are no absolutes in life. Period. Point blank. You might not be able to do it. That doesn't mean somebody else can't. The polyamorous lifestyle is running rampant now. There are plenty of people who live that way, who have one person and two wives, or one person and two guys. There are even women who have two guys. That runs rampant right now. They have shows about it every day. It's possible to be in love with two people because you can love them differently. You can still be in love with them. You can still have a level of intimacy.
You love them for different reasons.
But what I'm saying is you can still have a level of intimacy with both of them. Just because y'all can't do it doesn't mean y'all. And trust me, most of the people who say it can't happen, they can't do it because of the jealousy factor.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they can't really do it, because there's a jealousy factor that comes along with it.
All right,
Wait a minute, y'all, I'm going to get him real good.
I'm going to get Joe D real good,
I'm
okay?
I'm going to get you real good. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to get you. All right, Joe D. So let's say you with this woman and you are in love with her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say she tells you that she's in love with you, but she don't want to be with you just yet because she's also in love with someone else. What you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Yes.
It depends.
Because you already said you have a
one.
But you also already said you have a one dick minimum in your household. So, go ahead. So you got a one dick minimum. Okay.
Exactly. I see you getting X-rated here on tonight's show, but all yes,
right,
there
okay.
is.
I
got to
mark this PG-13. Okay.
You said love. You didn't say anything about sex. At the time, if I was in love with a woman and she came with me and said, "Well, I can't really commit to you because I was in love with I'm in love with another man," okay, it would be incumbent upon me either to walk away or accept the situation. Point blank.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh.
Knowing me the way I am, I'd probably walk away.
Me too.
But y'all heard that. So both
like
guys
that.
Said they would walk away, y'all, but they're saying you can be
no,
in
no,
love
no,
with
listen,
one person.
No. Let me finish before you get to trying to jump down my throat.
Exactly. Go ahead, JG.
Let the man finish, and then you can jump down my throat. Now.
Go ahead.
It's possible. It's very, very, very possible. Only because, like, it's different levels to this stuff. So you might not love the person you with now the same way you love little homegirl from a couple of years ago. But it's still love there. I mean, I always live by one rule. Just because I'm not with you no more don't mean I don't love you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me loving two people at one time. I'm turning somebody.
Let me finish.
I'm currently in something. I love that person dearly, but that don't mean I don't love anybody that I dated before this person either. I love them too. So
that's different.
I mean,
that's different.
It doesn't necessarily mean I have to be dating them.
This is the question. If you saying that you love somebody from your past, would you fickle and go have sex with that person? That's the difference.
I'm sorry.
But why does that
have
to be very bad?
Because if you're saying, oh, I love him, but I love this person that I'm with, but my feelings is still over. Feelings and emotions is different. Like when you're feeling it with your heart, it's different from a mutual type of love, because I love a whole bunch of people. That don't mean I'm going to go hump on them. That's because I love them.
My point exactly. Who said anybody was humping these people? We're talking about loving
two
people.
No, the question is, could you be in love with two different people at the same time? Y'all trying to make it like a lax thing. Like, no, this is not. She's talking about truly being in love. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with him. Like,
Let me ask you something, y'all. With your religion, they believe in multiple wives. So can a man love multiple wives at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's being in love too, right?
So can a man be in love with two women? I think that is a difference, because if you're talking about an intimate level. If you're talking about on a relationship level, I'm going to be with you. You're going to be my man. I'm going to be your woman. It's different. So in that case, yes, you can be in love with two different people, because you may love them for different reasons.
Hello?
Wait, did we lose Yara?
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah,
she was making a good point, too. Yara, please call back in. She was making a good point, but I'm gonna piggyback off of what Yara was saying, because I agree with her with that. I think the point that me and JG are trying to make to y'all is that the reason why we say it's possible to be in love with two people at the same time is because they may bring two different things to the table. This whole thing about, oh, you can only be in love with one person is a myth. Because you feel so much for the one person that there's nothing else that can get in there. That is totally a myth. There are religions. There are lifestyles. There are people on this planet that have been living a polyamorous lifestyle for generations upon generations. And it works for them. And their wives, there are people on this planet that have like six wives. Every wife.
And they homegirls.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is every wife feels like she's in love.
Exactly.
That man feels like he's in love with every one of his six wives.
And
you can't say it's not possible.
And everybody, see, this is why this new generation and y'all attachment to sex, everything don't revert back to dad. Like, no, everything doesn't revert back to, oh, just because I love this person I love you and I love you, but that don't mean I'm with you, but that don't mean I, just because I love her, don't mean I'm getting it in with her neither. It just means
right.
I share a bond with her. That means
right.
I love that chick. Like, y'all think because, especially females, y'all think because another dude get on the line or he get a feeling with somebody else or something, he hanging out with somebody from his past, that they automatically smashing. And you don't know what they bond could be like before you even came into the picture. It don't necessarily mean they getting it in. It just means they got mad love for each other.
Jump in.
I'm here. I'm back. I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay. Go ahead, y'all. Finish.
I don't even know where I left off at. But I think what I was saying was that when I was not Muslim, right, I could have been in a relationship with a guy who was married, and I'm his side piece. But now that I'm Muslim and I am in a relationship with a man who has another wife, I get to spend eternity with this person. So it's a difference. It's a spiritual difference when it comes to Islam, because when you're just a side piece, you're just there getting hung. It's a difference when he's your husband in Islam and he has two wives. He has to keep those wives justly. If he buy her a car, he got to buy this one car. If he buy her a house, he got to buy this one house. If he do this, he got to do this one for that one too. And so, and then when you are, when you die and you are accepted into Jannah, and then you're both accepted into Jannah, you get to be together eternity. That's the ideology behind it. So I think that if a man or a woman has a desire to love two people, it's probably because he loves them for different reasons. You know, this one may be able to fulfill this part of his life that this one can't fulfill. So it's a shaky situation, because everybody's going to be territorial and everybody's going to get their feelings involved, whether it's in religion or you are just a side piece. Everybody's going to get their feelings involved. And some people do live like this and decide, okay, well, you can have them on Monday and I'll have them on Tuesday, and then we just going to be one happy family. And it works for some people. And I think that on the outside looking in, we need to stop being so judgmental, because
exactly.
If somebody just openly say, oh, I'm sleeping with her husband, it might not be that big of an issue. But when you say, I'm going to be married to this person too, and we're going to live in a polygamous relationship, it's such a big issue. I don't really understand why, because you're already doing it anyway. You know, and I guess that's my point of view from being on both sides of the fence. Like, I wasn't Muslim. I just recently became Muslim. And so, you know, because I wasn't born into it, I have some cultural ideas from American culture, and those play a role in my religious life. Because as it's not so judgmental if you just sleeping with somebody dude, nobody's thinking about you because you just sleeping with somebody dude. But then when you say, oh, my husband has another wife and he's frowned upon, I don't understand.
Just look at for the folks that are in our group, just look at some of the comments that were made on that post. Most of the women came on that post and was like, oh, no, you can't do it. You can't. And they always use the same line. You can love two people, but you can't be in love with two people.
It's
don't
all about feelings and emotions, and it's a psychological thing. It's about feelings and emotions. And besides, women are territorial. That's in or out of Islam. You know, that's natural. Like, we're territorial. We want things to be all to ourselves, and we want things to be a certain way, you know what I mean? Like, we got to have that connection with a person. Like, a lot of women be like, oh, I'm not sleeping with him on the first date. Listen, if your panties wet, you going to get the D.
Well, now.
I'm just saying, like, women so emotional.
There's going
like,
to be a whole lot of people
so
converting
to Islam. Excuses. Like, come on.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I
have to make you
emotion.
Up.
Or
we might have to make
like,
you a member
for?
Of the panel. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. I got a topic y'all should talk about. I'm going to inbox it to you, Tanisha.
Okay. K-Brod just said, wait, what?
I'm just saying, like, women are so emotional and they get so mixed up in these feelings. Like, don't be, I mean, my thing is this. Like, we all grown. You grown, I'm grown. If you feel like you are sexually attracted to a person, and don't judge me because I'm Muslim, but this is my natural opinion. Leave me the hell alone. Anyway, if you are a grown person and you feel like you are feeling sexually tantalized, why not just say that? You don't have to be in love with somebody to have sex with them. I mean, I'm just saying, though. And I think that when it comes down to relationships, people just get too involved, like get too deep into it. Don't be so, come on.
So you think we need to pull back?
I think what happens is that, you know, of course everybody wants that one person that's going to just belong to them, you know. But if you know that your dude is going to be out there doing what he want to do, don't be mad when he do it and then turn right back around and that's your dude. Like, what sense does that make?
So then tell me something. So then in Islam, with the multiple wives or whatnot, I mean, is there still such a thing as cheating?
There is, if you're not married to the person. If your husband is just flaking around, he's just doing what he want to do, then that's adultery. But if he's married to the person, and I don't know how to say it exactly, but if you know that he has another wife, that's cool. He's got another wife. He's going to have sex with her. That's the logic thing because that's his wife, and that's how you commit the marriage is to have sex, right? So, you know, if you know that, then that's the only thing, that's his wife. But if he's just creeping around, that's adultery. So that's the thing wrong. He has to marry her to have sex with her.
Okay, let me pose this question for y'all right quick before we take it out. What about the women, you know, and I guess the guys too, who say they are bisexual? So you trying to tell me they couldn't love two people?
Mm.
Especially women who love, they might have a woman lover, they might have a male lover.
It's
very possible. You might.
And that's all I'm saying.
You might love the female. You know, no, but on different
and
levels.
And how do you keep those things separate?
Because
how do you keep
it's,
those
it's,
separate. If you in two separate relationships, if you say you were a man, you were a woman, and she got a girl, the woman, how does she keep that separated? Because it's hard to be, okay, well, today I'm going to be over here with her, and then at 6 o'clock I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do it to her.
Well, because sometimes
it
might be in the open. It might be, sometimes that situation could be in the open, and he just accepted it because he knew his woman was bisexual, you know? Sometimes
and the homies can't have none. I mean, I'm just saying that.
But you also gotta look at it on two different levels. It's like that's a plate right there, and y'all all are part of the meal, and you just divide everything evenly. Like I've been in those shoes.
Oh Lord, now
when
I'm dinner.
No,
I'm sorry.
When I was younger,
what the
back
man
in my younger days, I was you know I've learned all about that at a very young 19 years old. But you gotta kind of keep them separate. You can't attach one feeling to one chick and then attach another feeling to another situation because both situations are different. What people don't understand is, and I'm going to actually put this out there because I don't give a care. I've dated a boy before and I've dated a girl before. There's two totally different experiences.
So have you dated both at the same time?
Yes, I have. Two totally different experiences. Females are very, you know,
clingy.
Y'all want to hug and cuddle and all that stuff. But a boy, it's kind of like, that's your best friend. Y'all can go play basketball together. Y'all can play the game together. Y'all can do all the little boy stuff that boys like to do. With girls, y'all don't like doing that kind of stuff. You just heard KJ say she don't know nothing about basketball. So
I don't know basketball either.
Yeah, that's why I'm
now see that would be the point where if it was the finals and instead of me wanting to chill and watch basketball with people who don't know nothing about basketball, I would have been over here in this situation because I already know Shorty know about basketball. So me and Shorty going to be able to talk about what's on the TV. Now, if I want to watch a chick flick and cry, Titanic, Waiting to Exhale, The Bodyguard.
Really, a chick flick and cry?
We could sit and watch them together and I'll watch you cry. I mean, but you get what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. It's
go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm still stuck on what I said before. Go ahead.
No, I understand what you're, but that's because you're a girl.
Maybe I need to start playing Beyonce, you know? If I were a boy. I mean, you know, I don't know. So, I mean.
That song has very much show truth to it. I don't like Beyonce, but I do like that song because that song is real.
You like that song?
You don't like Bounce?
No, I can't fool with Beyonce too much.
What's not to like about Bounce? I'm just saying.
Crazy.
Beyonce.
You know what I'm saying?
Did you really just say like? Yeah, that song is very true. If I was a boy, like if that was me, that's putting y'all in shoes. And
because
I'm sure a lot of females wish they could be in our shoes.
Really attached, like he could say he in love and this and this and that, but it's hard. Since the first time I saw my husband cry, baby, I was like, oh, he really loves me. I was like, woo, I must have put this thing on him. So it's like. Men, you don't really see that from them. Women, they're going to cry their eyes out. They're going to key your car. They're going to flat your damn tires. They're going to do all of this craziness to show you that they really love you. But men, you got to, like, when you get that self, the moment that he in his feelings and he really being emotional and not screaming at you but screaming from the inside, it's a difference. And you have to really be able to feel that emotion from him. A lot of times you don't get that from men. They're so disconnected from situations. Like some men, you know, stop talking to you. They don't want to, they want to be stubborn. They don't want to communicate with you. So it's like you have to try
to figure out what's going on in their
head. There are men that communicate?
There are men that communicate,
I'm saying.
Yeah, we communicate very well all the time. The problem is y'all don't speak the same language as we do because y'all are from another planet.
Yes.
And one called Never Never Land.
Whatever. I mean, because my experience with dudes has been that they don't really say how they feel or anything. So I'm just kind of like, wow.
Most guys say how they feel. Y'all just don't listen.
No, you don't. Whatever.
Yes, yeah, we don't tell it to you like y'all do. We don't sit there and be like, oh, well, babe, all dramatic. I mean, we might sit there and be like, you know, baby, I'm not, you know, whatever, not feeling it today, or I'm just not having a good day. We going to tell you, but we not going to tell you on the level that you speaking. So to you,
right,
it's foreign language because you not understanding what we saying, but we just trying to let you know the same thing you just told us. We showing you emotion. We just not going to sit here and sob and fall out in the middle of the floor and do all that other stuff that y'all do when y'all want to be dramatic.
No, did you just hear y'all said her husband cried tears for her? I ain't never had no nigra do that for me. And y'all meant to say it exactly
Wait a minute, did you just go 1975, nigra?
I sure did. I wanted to say it for effect. I ain't never had a nigra. I meant that to shed any tears over me, okay? I'm just saying. I'm not even going to touch that.
So that's too easy. That's just too easy. I'm not even going
to
mess with
it. I mean, it's only one option to that situation, and I'm not going to be the one to say that because I've actually had a boy cry over me, and I really thought it was really weird because I'm a nigga. And I was just like, what the f*** are you crying for? Like, what you crying for, man? Like, what's up?
I was giving him all the attitude in the world. I was Beyonce, Michelle, all of them rolled up in one. And baby, when them tears started falling, I was like, what? Y'all K must be doing this damn thing. I had a little proud moment. That shut me smooth up.
That hyped her up even more. You see that? You see what happens?
Oh,
that's
God.
Why men don't get overly emotional. You see what happens when we do?
Y'all get carried away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all was doing
the
running man in her head.
Yes.
Exactly.
You don't have to say no more. Where the bedroom at? You don't got to say no more. I'm sorry.
Well, it's been a great show, y'all. We thank Joshua Gautier and Yara.
Kalima.
Y'all go out support. Joshua's book should be out. What month, Joshua?
Right now with TBA.
Haven't released
it
yet? Okay.
No, not yet.
Okay, so y'all just look for that. We'll keep posting in our group. Look for Yara's stuff on Amazon as well, and also Yara.
Hey, y'all, don't listen to him. Bump Amazon. Go to my website, www.yarakalima.com.
Yes,
listen to him.
We will put that link up in the group so y'all can see. And support. Check us out, KJ.
Well, I tried to hit the button. Hit it.
Yes! Yeah. To get down, I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone because I get stupid. I mean outrageous. Stay away from me,